Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
All right, so March Madness is over. It's April now. The NCAA finals for the men and women are finished. But every March, the question is posed, what are we doing here in the NCAA? Are we playing games or are we getting an education?
There are 380,000 NCAA student athletes. And most of us will go
and
pro.
Most of us will go pro in something
other
than sports.
In something other than sports.
The NCAA calls them student athletes, but every year around this time, some people might want to turn that around and call them athlete students. What is the priority in NCAA schools? Almost half of all African-American men from NCAA Division I basketball teams are not likely to go pro in any sport because they don't graduate. And that's according to a recent study out by the University of Florida's Institute for Diversity and Ethics in Sports. Michigan State lost in the final game, but this probably has even more sting. Michigan State has the greatest disparity in graduation rates among Sweet 16 teams. All of its white players graduated. Only 43% of its black players got a diploma. Joining us now is Dr. Boyce Watkins, professor of finance at Syracuse University and founder of YourBlackWorld.com. He joins us from the studios of WRBO in Oswego, New York. Dr. Watkins, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
You know, that Michigan State stat is really disturbing. What's going on here? I mean, there's a recruiting issue, it seems, and then there's also a responsibility issue once these young men get into school. Why the dropout rate so high?
Well, there are a multitude of factors. But one thing we have to understand is that money is a drug, and the NCAA, in my opinion, as a finance professor and as a capitalist, they have all the elements of a professional sports league. I mean, they make more money during March Madness than the NFL makes in its entire postseason, Super Bowl included. They make more than the Major League Baseball. They make more than the NBA does in their postseason. So this is serious money. And so what this drug of money does to many institutions, in my opinion, is that it leads these institutions to sort of deviate from their academic mission, almost like how a drug addicted mother doesn't take good care of her kids. And so as a result of that, you have these students that are brought in as hired guns for the university. You have a lot of athletes that are brought into campuses with these strong athletics programs, and no one in their right mind thinks for one second that some of these guys are actually going to stay to graduation, and that's a problem.
Well, what regulations are in place now that attempt to enforce some sort of academic standards in NCAA Division I schools, and what might be added to make this a better situation?
Well, there are certain regulations in place that allegedly limit the number of hours that coaches can force athletes to spend practicing. There are some other regulations on graduation rates and on GPAs that you have to have in order to play. I think that the challenge, though, is that incentives roll downhill, and you've never seen a coach get rewarded for graduating players if that coach is losing games. At the same time, a coach that's winning games and not graduating anyone is going to get a raise, a promotion, and a $20, $30 million contract. So effectively, the universities are saying out of their mouths, yes, academics matters to us, but when the rubber meets the road, so to speak, and they're actions are speaking, they're saying we want you to win, and that's really all that matters. So what you really need is you need external oversight from individuals like me who don't care if the team wins or not. All I care about is seeing that kid actually gets the education that his or her parents think that they are getting.
But Dr. Watkins, you say you're a capitalist. I'm wondering if there's any way to regulate in a situation where at a lot of NCAA Division I schools, the football coach or the basketball coach makes considerably more than even Nobel Prize winning scientists on campus. In many cases, they're the highest paid employee of the entire university system.
Well, let's be real. You're dealing with a multi-billion dollar industry. And the most beautiful thing in the world for the NCAA is that they've gotten people to take their eye off the ball and to focus on things like graduation rates. Because when we're focusing on graduation rates, we're not looking at how much money these guys are making off of these young kids. People don't understand that there's roughly a 1 to 2 billion dollar wealth extraction from the black community being done here by the NCAA. If you look at the statistics across college sports, you'll find that many of the athletes, the generators of wealth, the generators of this revenue, tend to be African American. But these guys don't get chances to be coaches later. I think 4 out of 120 college football coaches were African American. Most of the commentators who make money from the sport and the athletic directors who make money from the sport are not African American, and the coaches signing these $30-40 million contracts aren't typically African American. So to some extent, graduation rates is really the first step toward NCAA reform and regulation.
Boyce, this is Femi Okeke here. Are any of the universities actually really making sure that the standard of education for African American players stays high? Are there any universities that you look to and go, they're doing a good job?
Well, I think that our national champion, the University of North Carolina, is doing a better job than most. Their graduation rates are pretty high. Schools like Duke and others, they tend to do a good job. On the other side of the fence, you have schools like Arizona and Texas that have graduation rates that are absolutely horrible. They're below 20%. And I think that schools like that should not be allowed to play in the NCAA tournament.
We've got to go, but I can't resist asking you this last question. Dr. Watkins, does the NBA bear any responsibility here, especially for players who do go pro like LeBron James and who forego college altogether?
No, I don't think in the NBA is the problem here. Remember, you're dealing with sports in which half of the African-American athletes who play Division I college football or college basketball, they come from poverty. So the lure of the NBA is very simple. I can get money and I can take care of my family. You can't blame a young man for wanting to take care of his family. Where the NBA does bear some responsibility is that they want to help implement rules that will force players to stay in college for a year or two before they get a chance to go pro. And they claim that they're doing this to protect the athlete when the reality is that they're helping the NCAA protect their revenue by forcing the next LeBron James to play at the college level.
Well, the story in the headline, Money Talks, Dr. Boyce Watkins, finance professor at Syracuse University and founder of YourBlackWorld.com. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.